so many people are, especially people in the homeless community, many of them are exceptionally smart.
Right.
Skilled. And skilled, but they lack credentials often. They lack the ability to network. Many of them have very rudimentary, if at all, computer skills.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, all the other things, transportation, lack of phone, lack of, a stable residence so they can shower and shave and eat before they go and got a place to come to when they come home.
Right.
So all those things, I mean, you know, have conspired, especially here in Nashville, to just create this great condition for homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you add a lack of affordable housing units, you cannot... Shelter is the most basic of human needs.
Right.
So how a community can think that you cannot put resources towards affordable housing is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
And this tent cities really are, in my mind, the logical conclusion.
Right.
It's just the way it is. I mean, what else are they going to do?
That's Steve Samra. Steve is probably the most active homeless outreach worker in Nashville. He himself was homeless and a drug addict until about 10 years ago when he went through a rehab program, went back to school. About 2 years ago, Steve and his wife moved to Nashville from Nevada, and he's been doing outreach work there ever since. He took me to a soup kitchen at the United Methodist Church, not far from Music Row, where I met Amy Gallagher. Amy is the director of the church's outreach program. It was a Friday, one of the 2 days during the week that the kitchen is open, and there are almost 200 homeless and unemployed people in the banquet hall, waiting to be fed.
There are tent cities all over, and I do not know that they will ever go away. There are certain individuals who cannot live in structured settings, and so they need a tent city. And that's always going to be there.
Have you seen a dramatic increase lately?
Absolutely. Yes, our numbers have gone up. I would say almost 75 to 100% within the last 6 months. Yes, 100% in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
This is a smaller group than we normally have.
Yeah.
Fridays we have less than we have on Tuesdays.
Right.
However, this is about double the size that we would have had in September or October. So yes, there has been a dramatic increase. What we're also observing is the day labor pools have dried up or are drying up. And now the skilled labor that works for small contractors, that their jobs are drying up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have volunteers who come who have worked in corporate America, who are now without a job, and they're spending their time helping at the soup kitchen.
Right.
So, you know, that's a way of their giving back.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing it all over, and that's just really what it is.
Right.
It's just there's been a dramatic increase. There's a lack of jobs. Tennessee, I heard this morning, its unemployment rate is now at 8 something. Yeah. We happen to have property in a county where it's 20.3%.
Wow.
Which is
in Davidson County?
No. 2 hours west of here.
Okay.
Where it is and that is a rural community where the two big factories shut their doors and there's nothing else.
Right.
So it's widespread and very invasive.
I also talked to a guy named Howard, who's been homeless for a number of years. He and his wife are looking for an affordable place where they can live together. But so far they've had no such luck.
So therefore we got us two tents and we were thinking about going down to Tent City to live because a lot of my good associates are down there. And we just decided that I didn't want her down there. When I went down there one day to visit some of my friends, and I saw a young lady that had mosquito bites all over. And it wasn't the right utensils that were down there. They didn't have a porta-johns down there. They didn't have a dumpster down there. So it was kind of like...
They got that now.
They got it now,
water.
Yeah, so if you give us the right utensils, you can make it look like a park if you want to, you know. But when you don't have it, it's just bad, you know what I'm saying? And then when people come down and see that, they talk about us. But, you know, we still don't have Port-a-Johns downtown where we can even use the bathroom. If you see us with a backpack walking through town, you can't go in a hotel and use the bathroom, you know. At the bus terminal, they said just wait until we build this and the homeless will be able to come in and use the bathroom or whatever. But if you're not, if you don't have a bus pass or whatever, you can't go up there and use the bathroom. If the police see you, because they have
you
police.
Wait, so you can't use which bathroom?
At the MTA terminal.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. And then after the last bus runs, they have a gate that comes over and it locks the bathroom up too. So we still, you know, I look at homelessness like the civil rights movement back in the 60s. We're going to have to attack it, and we're going to have to do it, like I think, underground. Yeah. Just do it. When we see what we need to have, if we need to, if we could build a bathroom in 24 hours while, or 8 hours while people are asleep at night and just put it there, that's what we're going to have to do.
Right.
I mean, it's not just for us. It's for everybody, you know?
Downtown.
You're downtown, yeah. Yeah. And our real shelter is the downtown library, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
We can go in there, but if you can't make it there to use the bathroom, you're in trouble.
Right.
Our parks. They just built, I don't know how many millions, doing the Metro Courthouse Square park. They didn't put a water fountain there.
Right.
Church Street Park across from the library, there's no water fountain there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like they're hustling backwards. Things that need to be done aren't being done.
Yeah.
And like I say, we're often talked about and always overlooked.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
But it's going to have to start with the homeless community.
Right.
We're going to have to be the ones to change.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have to, like I say, show love, and we're going to have to come together on one accord.
Yeah.
And the ones that they see up at the park drinking mouthwash or whatever, we're going to have them to go somewhere else and do that, because that's when they stereotype all of us. Yeah. Mental, people with mental problems, some with addiction, some that make bad decisions, you know what I'm saying? But they think we're all the same, and we're not, you know? And it's just really, really sad that that's how they see us. But we do matter, we do count. We used to be something before we became like we are. And when you stay in a shelter, you do the room in the end, it's not intentionally done, but you lose your self-worth.
Yeah.
And anytime you lose your self-worth, it's real bad.
Yeah.
City will be allowed to continue existing?
No. No, they're going to shut us down.
Yeah.
They're going to shut us down.
No, they ain't.
Yeah.
No, they ain't.
But
they're going to play hell trying to shut us down.
3 years.
Okay. He's interviewing me, cowboy. Hush.
They ain't going to shut this down.
I think they will eventually.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be up out of here for them.
They can shut it down because they don't want you downtown.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want you.
But they don't want us here either.
They
don't want us here either.
Yeah. Right.
Been doing it for 3 years, and they keep saying, well, we're closing this. When I first moved down, they said they was going to close it, said, y'all be out of here in 6 months. That was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so
long,
I don't know.
Fucking 6 months.
Yeah.
I thought my way.
So that was Lisa and her neighbor Cowboy, who both live in Tent City. The municipality threatened to demolish Tent City last November, but there was massive popular resistance to the idea. So the mayor decided to postpone the demolition, and in the meantime set up a commission to hear what the people of Nashville think should be done about homelessness. This is Wendell Seagrove, who's lived in Tent City off and on for about 4 years, and has sort of reluctantly become the community spokesperson.
The first commission meeting I went to about Tent City, the committee there, the commissioners said that you know, there need to be a dumpster down here in Port-a-Johns, and we're going to get Public Works to do it.
Right.
3 months later, private citizens stepped up and got the dumpsters in Port-a-Johns.
Yeah.
You know, I've been nominated for a seat on Homeless Commission because of the work I've been doing, but I'm not sure I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
Because I'm a man of action.
Yeah.
I can't understand talk. right. about something and not doing anything.
Right.
You know, I'd have to get a book, Politics for Dummies, and I don't want to, right. you know, because everybody says, well, I'll have a voice, but it'll be a voice bouncing off the wall. Because right. all I've seen in these commission meetings is talk, and they have done nothing.
Has this community been growing in the last...
Yeah. It that's what all this attention came. There was a lot of people staying over here
yeah.
on a triangle property, which is private property, and they were trespassing.
Right.
And Metro came in to tell them all to leave, right? And they all came over here. They had a bunch of young kids.
Yeah.
And what happened, it got a little overcrowded, and... Inner City Ministry, the main man there, talked to a guy there, maintenance guy, to try to get a hold of Public Works, see if they can get some dumpsters and porta-johns down here.
Okay, yeah.
And then he took it to somebody else, and then that's where the cops got a hold of it, and they just said, well, let's just shut it down.
Right. And that was last summer?
Yeah, it was last summer. That was last summer. But then it got on the media, and the community found out about it, so there's a lot of good people in Nashville.
Yeah.
And they're stepping up, and there's a lot of people, including myself, that are, you know, fighting to keep it open. You know?
Right.
And I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for everybody else. Right. Said about 8-9 months ago, it came to me that this, you know, reason this happened to me, you know, God, you know, took everything from me, put me down there because he wanted me to work with his children. And I asked for a sign, and he gave me the sign, so that's what I've been doing. Now I'm starting to look for a job because it's time to start thinking about myself instead of other people. So, because I know with my dogs, I'm not going to get housing. And my dogs are my children, and I'm not giving my dogs up. So I'm not going to get housing. They're trying to find housing for everybody down here, but that's not going to happen.
Right.
They're not all going to get housing, so it's time for me to start looking for work. And,
right.
You know, once I find a job, I'll get back up. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you what, when you start doing God's work, and you really start doing God's work, he takes care of you. Since I've been doing this, I was struggling before, but since I've been doing it, I've been wanting for nothing.
Yeah.
Things keep coming to me, you know. And now somebody just told me yesterday that if I find a job, they're going to help me get my license back and get a vehicle.
Right.
So I can get to work. So God will take care of me.
Yeah. So what are you, are you kind of asking, because I know there have been a bunch of kind of tent communities in the States that have been sort of integrated and they've been... sort of supplied with clean water and stuff like that.
Well, we're actually the only one that's got clean water.
Yeah.
We've got running water, courtesy of Inner City Ministries here, but most of the other camps, they don't.
Yeah.
You know, and it needs to be, you know, these meetings they've been having to see if Nashville needs a sanctioned homeless camp. Yeah, if there's homeless people for a lot of different reasons, because it's dangerous out there on the street. It's not dangerous here.
Right.
If you're homeless, this is about the safest place you can be.
Right.
You know, because it's community, people look after you. You have a couple bad elements, but that's in any neighborhood, anywhere, you're going to have that, you know. But, if there's camps where the people are together, they've got safe places they can live in, out of the elements, they can lock their stuff up, not having to worry about their stuff getting coming home and everything's gone. All the services can get to them, you know, the food will get to them, people know where to go to bring the food, you know, and everything. It's, they need them.
Yeah.
But we have I don't know if I need to say this, but we have a government here that just doesn't like the homeless. They do not like the homeless. If they had their way, they'd run them all out of town, which is going to create more problems.
Right.
Because if you're someplace where you can't get to services, you can't get no clothes, you can't get no food, you're going to do what you got to do to survive.
Right.
So if that happens, crime rate's going to go up.
Right.
And they're, you know, and they ought to be able to see that because they're supposed to be intelligent people. But all they care about is these non-entities.
Yeah.
The scum of society, which there's not too. There's a lot of good people down here. You know, there are a lot of drunks and drug addicts, granted, but that's all you see.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of good people that their businesses went out of business, their companies folded, they've got foreclosed on, they went to jail and lost everything. There's a million different reasons for people to get down there, and they're all good people.
Yeah.
And if you had programs, which we're trying to get something started to, which there's a couple of them that, you know, train people. Like, you got people in management all their life, and that's all they know.
Right.
If you have something to train them new skills, you know, we're trying to get one going, and I'll volunteer my time to teach anything in construction.
Right.
You know, and it's going to be a year program. After that time, they can get a job, if the work's there, making $13, $14, $18 an hour.
Yeah.
You know, and they can survive on that, but they got to learn new skills.
Right.
And there's people, we've got a friend of mine who owns a restaurant, helps us feed. He's going to teach food service, and got other people going to teach computer skills and how to do resumes and how to dress and present yourself in an interview and stuff.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of them that do that, but there's not enough.
Yeah.
You know. So it's a big battle. It's a heck of a fight, and but there's people like me that aren't going to quit.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of good people here.
Go to sleep, you weary hobo. Let the towns drift slowly by. Listen to the steel rails humming. That's a hobo's lullaby. Think about tomorrow. Let tomorrow come and go. Tonight you've got a nice warm boxcar, safe from all this wind and snow. I know the police cause you trouble. They cause trouble everywhere. But when you die and go to heaven, you'll find no policeman there. So go to sleep, you weary hobo. Let the towns drift slowly by. Listen to the steel rails humming. That's a hobo's lullaby.
So I'd like to say thanks to Steve Samra, Amy Gallagher, Howard Allen, Lisa Cowboy, and Wendell Seagrove for CKUT. This has been Hustling Backwards. I'm Nico Block.